Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that is with us today. Grant us, O Lord, thy gracious Spirit continue to be with us. Grant us, O Lord, a willing heart to want to walk with you, want a closer walk with you, Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Grant us that willingness in our heart and a readiness to do the same in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant us the ability to actually do it as well, day to day, moment to moment, walking in the light, walking after the Spirit. As you lead, we follow in Jesus' name. Where you lead, we will follow. We pray, Lord, as always, and we declare it, that the entrance of your word, it brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Cause that light, Lord, to shine into our hearts and in our hearts and even through us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, this is a follow-up today on our lesson on living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Before we get away from that, we're going to take this as a prayer room, that the Lord will help us get to that. But I want to remind us of some of the things that we have shared and the areas of prayer this morning. Looking at the life of Jesus, all the things that Jesus said, I'm not going to repeat all the scriptures. We gave those already. But there is a few things, you know, that I want to call out concerning the life of Jesus. We'll see the example, you know, that he showed us, and perhaps the Lord will grant us understanding to do the same in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is a story that appears in the book of Luke chapter 22. It also appears in John chapter 18. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 22. And some people call it, you know, the Passion. This was moments before the cross, or hours, when Jesus went to pray. The hour had come, he said, and he went into prayer. It took, you know, some of his disciples with him, and he went. Hallelujah. And when he was praying, we're told that he told the disciples, pray that you enter not into temptation. He himself went about a stone throw, kneeled down, and prayed. I mean, would you think that Jesus would kneel down and pray? But he did. You know, many times we saw that he lifted up his eyes to heaven when he prayed. In this place, we saw that he kneeled down and prayed and said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. That's verse 42 of Luke chapter 22. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This was his moment, the greatest conflict of his life, right here in this moment. And he was facing the most difficult time of his life. He had to go to the cross. Not just the physical death was what he was worried about, but, you know, the fact that the sins of the world would be laid upon him, and he would have to carry all those sins. And because of that, he knew what was going to happen. He would become darkness, because that's sin is darkness, pretty much. And and as much as God is light and there is no darkness in him, he knew the Father was going to have to turn his back on him. And that was a dreadful, dreadful thought. because he and the Father were one the whole time, even before the world began. And he began to pray that, Lord, if there's any possibility at all, you know, it's a great conflict that he was going through in his mind. He already knew that there was no possibility. And this is why he came in the beginning, you know, but in that moment, see, he had to deal with that struggle. And that shows us an example of what we deal through with at times too. We know the will of God. I mean, we already know it, but with the times we struggle, and Jesus himself, he struggled with it. Is there any way around it? But he always knew that, well, no matter what, the will of the Father was to be done, you know. And in that moment, it seemed as if, you know, the Lord was not even going, I mean, the Father was not even going to, you know, answer him. You know, he had to go through with it. And there's no question about it. He would have to go through it. And he said, again, he prayed and asked the Father, is there any way at all, you know, that these things should be removed from me if it were possible? Well, it is not possible. And he had to go through it. But the lesson that we see here is that he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but that be done. And that was the prayer that he prayed in that moment. And I pray, you know, that this will be our posture every time that we are in crossroads, you know, sometimes some very difficult decisions we have to make. We want to go one way. We already know what we believe the Lord wants us to do, you know, but, you know, the only way to do it would be the Father's way. But sometimes in our mind, it's like, well, if there was any way around it. And, but we know there's no way around it. So we need to pray then in that moment, just like Jesus prayed, and ask the Lord to grant us the grace to go through with it. So this story that we see in Luke chapter 22, I thought there was another place where it was written. But anyway, in Luke chapter 22, we see this story that Jesus faced the ultimate test. And not my will be done, but yours, he said. Wow. Can we do that as well? Is it possible for us to do that? I think, let me read this one in Matthew 26. That's the one that I was looking for. I thought it was in John, but not John. Forget John. Matthew 26. Let's read that one and see how that Jesus prayed pretty much the same prayer, you know, and took these disciples to go with him. And at the time when it is, when prayer is needed, what are we going to do? I mean, at the time when a serious decision is needed, what is he going to do? So Jesus came to this place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Matthew 26 and, verse 36. And he took with him Peter and James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me for just 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And this is the area where we struggle. You know, the spirit and the flesh lusted after against each other. The spirit wants you to do the right thing. The flesh can't do it. And so we need the strength of prayer to be able to go through moments like that. And Jesus, this was in his life, in his darkest moment, just a few moments ahead of him, he had to go through this. And he prayed, you know, and he went again, Oh, my Father, if this cup be, let it pass from me, except that, but if I have to drink it, well, then let thy will be done. And so on and so forth. And in the account in Luke chapter 22, we're even told that, you know, that was so serious, the prayer that he was praying till, you know, he started to sweat blood, you know, prayed, verse 44, being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Yeah, it was a great struggle, but he had to pray through it. You know, but he demonstrated to us that no matter how difficult it is, you know, we do the right thing by the Spirit of God, not what is easy. It's easy many times to walk away from things. So let me say that again. We do what is right, not what is easy. Many times the easier thing is the choice that our flesh would make, you know. Sometimes God may ask us to do some difficult things, not something that we can't do, you know, by his grace. He knows we can do it because he wouldn't ask us to go through it. You know, there's no test. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 that God will, you know, make us, you know, encounter or go through other than what we are able to bear. But sometimes, unless we are walking closely with the Spirit, we won't be able to bear it. Even though God knew we could bear it, you know, so that's going to be the topic of our prayer today as we go on this journey. Walking with God is a journey of a lifetime. And from time to time, we will always come back to this concept. And the last 2 days, it's still part of that concept. Walking in the Spirit. Basically, we're walking with the Lord. He's telling us and guiding us, and we are walking. And the Holy Spirit is the governor to guide us, to direct us. And if we don't listen or surrender, then there is a tendency in our minds to do our own thing. And that may be contrary to the Spirit. First of all, you know, we need to train our minds to listen to the Spirit of God and pray that God will grant us grace, a willing heart, you know, and the mercy of the Lord. That's because God said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. We need to be willing to do it, but it is He that will even make us willing. But our prayer must be, nevertheless, thy will be done. You know, there are some difficult things that I have faced myself, the situation, challenges, not knowing which way or the other. And I often prayed, I said, Lord, you know, you said, if we desire anything and believe it, we'll have it. Okay. So this is, you know, the way I want it. But nevertheless, let your will be done. See, because, you know, even though we may desire it, it may not be the perfect will of God, because he knows what we don't know. And then I would pray and I would say things like, Lord, if it is indeed your will, then prosper this thing. Nevertheless, if it is not your will, then block it. And that has worked for me many times in critical situations. And once I gave the Lord permission to block it, if it wasn't his will, you know, then I received peace in my heart. That, well, you know, the devil can't block it. It has to be the Lord. I gave the Lord the permission. And you can block it, Lord, if it's not your will. But if it is your will, then grant me the grace, Godspeed, and let that thing prosper in my hand or whatever it is. You know, but you know, sometimes we hear from God point blank, and sometimes we don't hear from God point blank. Sometimes you have to search the scriptures. Sometimes you have to listen more. Sometimes you have to look at how God is bringing things together. I mean, God can speak to us in any number of ways. But when it is not clear, then we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Grant us the grace to just let him have his will. Have thy own way, Lord. Old time hymns about surrendering, have thy own way. You know, and all these hymns, A Closer Walk with God, you know, that we played at the beginning. So it is critical. That's a critical part of our lives. And we're going to take some time in prayer today, especially if you struggle with doing things your own way. And sometimes some of us don't even pray about anything. We just do it, you know. And it happens to the best of us. You know, I caught myself actually did something just yesterday that I didn't, you know, specifically necessarily pray about. I mean, I thought it was something good, and I caught myself, and I had to quickly pray about it. You know, I was thinking of, changing my insurance carrier for home and auto, because I got a flyer in the mail and it looked good there. You know, their rates, the promised rates could save me thousands over what I'm paying now. You know, I proceeded to go down that path without even necessarily praying about it. So you see how this thing happens to the best of us at our times. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to be faced with these situations, and it may indeed be God's will. Or it may not be. We don't know. Yeah, and that's why you pray. It may look good on the outside, but you don't know how it's going to turn out later on. Yeah, that's how you pray. That's why you pray. And that's walking in the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are indeed the sons of God. That's the, you know, telltale sign that we are children of God if we are allowing the Spirit of God to lead us. Praise the Lord. Now, not babies cannot be led. You can't. You can't tell a baby, you can't give instructions to babies that are still sucking, sucklings, and then tell them what to do. Go here, come there, go there. They can't do it. You know, maybe hardly even understand you, but even if they did, they just can't do it because they are babies. You know, instruction is for people who can understand it. You know, so that is also one of the reasons why Paul was saying, you know, we need to grow up. We can't be a baby. Chapter 4 of Galatians covered that. You can't be a baby, you know. I even said, look, I'm praying for you all the time. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again and again until Christ be formed in you. And we shouldn't be that baby all the time. We could grow up, you know. And when we grow up, when we expect the children that are a little bit grown, even from ages a little, you know, when they are in the toddler ages, they can start to understand instruction. You can tell them, don't do that, or go put your toys away, or whatever, whatever. They can begin to understand it at that time. But when they're just babies, they can't understand anything, you know. And then sometimes they don't want to do it, even though they understand it. They throw all kinds of tantrums and all these things, you know.
And when the parents say, no, I want you to do that, they start to cry and they start, they understand, but they don't want to do it, you know. And when we catch ourselves acting like that in spiritual things, then it shows that we are babies. Babies. When the Lord tells us to do something and we throw tantrums or whatever, or the Lord shows us what is right, and we just obstinate and everything, and we're just babies. That's it. Babies are the ones that do that. A grown person will understand, you know. So we need to also pray that the Lord will help us to mature, grow to maturity, so that we can understand, you know, this is the developing our senses to discern His voice. We understand it. We know His voice now. At the beginning, we may not know it. And it's okay at the beginning, if you don't know it, to try the voice, because the Bible tells us that. Try every spirit to see whether I be of God. You know, try the voice. Gideon didn't know the Lord's voice, and so he tried the voice. Well, if this thing be of you, let me put this little fleece or cotton wool over here, you know, and when I get up in the night, well, let the cotton wool be wet and all the dry, all around it be dry. And it was so. And then in his mind, he's saying, well, that's easy. Maybe the cotton wool soaked up all the water. So let me do it the other way. Let me do the hard thing. Let me ask for the hard thing. If this is you, Lord, and you will do this thing that you said, then I'm going to put another piece of fleece here, cotton wool or whatever. This time around, let all the ground around it be soaking wet, but let this thing be dry. I mean, you know, that's not possible in the natural. So, you know, and then it was so. I mean, how do you put a piece of cotton wool in the, you know, pool of water and the wool is dry? And, they, you know, you can't, that can't happen. And so then he figured out, that must be the Lord. You know, so it's okay, you know, to, if you don't know it, check it out. You know, it's okay also to get a little help when we don't know His voice. Samuel did not know the voice of the Lord. You know, he had to get some help from Eli. And the Lord called him and ran to Eli. We all know that story. You know, but it wasn't Eli calling him. He ran there a few times. But the Lord was just patiently calling the young man. And he was that time an altar boy serving in the temple, but yet did not know the Lord. You know, so just because we are living, sleeping, waking up in the house of God doesn't mean anything. We may not know His voice. You know, and he didn't know it, but Eli had to teach him. Once Eli figured that out, look, this thing that this boy is experiencing, you know, since I'm not the one calling him, but he's hearing someone calling and running to me three times now, this has to be the Lord calling him. So he told him what to do, gave him a little help, you know. And then once Samuel figured it out, my goodness, became a mighty man of God that always heard from the Lord. Thereafter, the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord said to Samuel. Thereafter, the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord said to Gideon, the Lord said to Gideon. They figured it out. You know, so it is important for us to figure out. But if we have figured it out, then we have no excuse. Praise the Lord. Except for the rebellion of the flesh. See, the flesh is contrary. That's why I said the spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. The flesh is contrary. So we got to pray that the Lord help us to break it down. Grant us a willing heart, O Lord, for a closer walk with You. You know, and that's it. And it's important for us to know the will of the Father. You know, Scripture says we must understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, understanding it is a higher level. You know, first we have to know His will. You know, sometimes we may know His will, but we may not understand it. So that is why He says that we must, you know, understand the will of God. You know, that is so important. One, let's know the will of the Lord. And two, let's actually understand it. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, wherefore, verse 17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord?
Well, he has to reveal it to us.
You know, so first we need to know it. But how do you know it is the Lord that is revealing to you? So that's why all these things are tied together. You got to know his voice. You practice that by reading the word of God. You read the word of God enough. You know how God speaks. You know what he says. Then if you hear a voice, you align it with the word. If it's in line with that word, then you know it is his word. Because God will not contradict himself. He will not say something in the Bible and then some voice tell you something different. Actually, if that does happen, you have the right to reject it. And you will not be wrong. Because this Bible is giving us as the final arbiter, you know. So to the law and to the testimony, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. If the voice or anything does not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in it. So if the voice tells you, and it might be God testing you to see whether you would obey the written word. So you say, well, the Lord, you know, some people, I've heard some people say, well, you know, I know how the Lord speaks to me, so they don't even bother to check it out. Well, that's in error. Always check it out. You know, but if you do check it out, if it aligns with the word of God, if what you claim to be the leading of the Spirit is contrary to the word of God, you might be in danger of error. Now, it may be the Lord testing you. But you may be in danger of error as well. Your safety net is the word of God. Because he will never go against his word. Now, but once we figure out that the Lord is speaking to us, well, we need to know what it is he is saying. And that's why, you know, we pray all the time that the Lord should give us ears that hear, eyes that see, and a heart that understand. So that understanding is the last step in it all. The parables that Jesus told in Matthew 13, he told of the sower. And he said, look, a sower went out to sow and began to cast the seed here and there and here and there. One of the first one places where the seed landed was the wayside. You know, and Jesus would later explain that, you know, and I call them wayside hearers of the word of God. They're just on the wayside. They're not really keen on, you know, the path, but they're just along the wayside. You know, so, and how did Jesus explain what they were? He said, well, these are the ones who heard the word, but because they did not understand it, then the enemy comes and catches it away from them. So you can see how critical understanding is. They heard the word of the kingdom, but they had no understanding. And because of that, well, you know, then the enemy comes and takes it away from them. Let me read that to you in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, or the word of the Lord, or voice, or, you know, whatever instruction, and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. So that's why I call them wayside hearers of the word of God. You know, and let's not be like that. Understanding is so key. If you don't understand it, then you're not going to be able to retain it. So, when we know the voice of the Lord, we need to know what he's saying. Either we figure it out from the written word or the rhema word, whatever it is, you know, but then we must have understanding, you know, of what it means that he's saying. And if we don't understand it, we need to ask. You know, God is not the author of confusion. He's never going to, you know, tell you something just to confuse you. You know, so if he tells you something and you don't understand it, ask plainly. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. That's right. Seek understanding and you shall find, you know. So let's ask. And so that's the pattern that we must follow in order to know this way. Understanding what the will of the Lord is so, so key. But finally, after we understood it, well, the flesh along the way is going to try to make you not to understand it, but the devil doesn't want you to do it. You know, but if you persist and get to the point of understanding, then what's next? Well, we must do it then, you know. So, but to do it, the spirit is willing, but the flesh doesn't want to do it. And so, therefore, we need to also break that flesh down. God should grant us, you know, grant us that willingness. Praise the Lord. The King David, in preparing his son for the kingdom to take after him, he prayed that God would grant his son, you know, an understanding heart, you know, that, you know, God will grant his son an understanding heart. And, you know, God actually has answered that prayer because, you know, later God himself came to Solomon in a dream and asked him, well, what is it you want? And, you know, because the Lord allowed him, you know, wisdom to say and ask the right thing, well, you know, then the Lord gave him a new heart, you know, a heart, you know, that would understand, and he had understanding. We call it wisdom, you know, but it was understanding. And it's wisdom too. Wisdom, understanding, they all, you know, go together. You know, we see that in the book of Psalm 72, David was praying for his son to be strong, keep the Lord's commandments, and so on and so forth. And in the book of Second Chronicles, chapter 11, we see that, you know, God, granted David, he also granted his son, you know, understanding and skill to do the things. And David also, before he left the throne, you know, he prayed for his, you know, for his son, that the Lord would give him an understanding heart. And when the Lord did those things, well, we see how Solomon at first began to do the will of the Lord. And he actually did do the will of the Lord initially, although, you know, he didn't quite stay with it. He allowed, you know, some other things to creep in. But nevertheless, you know, he was a man that God had given an understanding heart. You know, so today we're going to pray that God will give us an understanding heart in knowing the will of the Lord and grant us the grace, you know, to be able to do it. Praise the Lord. So this is what we are going to do. The first prayer today is that God will grant us a change of heart. You know, whereas there might be stubbornness, you know, or whatever in our hearts, we're going to pray that the Lord will grant us a tender heart towards the Lord, not only in understanding his ways, but also, you know, in actually being able to do it. Praise the Lord. So, when God visited Solomon, he gave him a heart that would have that kind of understanding, gave him wisdom, gave him understanding, gave him largeness of heart, we're told, 1 Kings chapter 4, 29, and so on. Gave him all of this understanding. And It was that understanding that allowed him to know what it was God wanted to do, because God already said that he would be the one, you know, to build the temple, you know, and it wouldn't be his father, but he would be the one. And so when it was his time, you know, God gave him the understanding. So we will ourselves pray today that the Lord will give us understanding. The Lord will give us the grace to do his will. So that's the lesson today, and we're going to go into prayers now. The first prayer, of course, is, you know, understanding. You know, we need to understand what the will of the Lord is in any situation. And God will give us understanding. When he speaks to us, we need to pray that the Lord will give us understanding. Sometimes the thing may be couched in a way that, you know, we may not understand it. But, you know, we need to understand what the Lord is saying. So that way, you know, it'll be in our hearts to keep it. If we don't even understand it, how in the world are we going to keep it? It's like you're going, you know, you are trying to go on a journey. You don't know where you're going. How in the world are you ever going to get there? And you don't even know where you're going. So we need to know where it is the Lord is going. I mean, or taking us, you know. And it is important that we pray that the Lord will help us. There will be difficult choices at times. And do things the way of the Spirit or do things the way of our mind. But whichever way the Lord wants us is what we must do. And we should pray for ourselves and pray for our children also. You know, David prayed, you know, for Solomon. I pray that, you know, I said, look, be strong and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Keep his ways. Keep his statutes. Do all of these things and so on. You know, and the Lord grant you, you know, an understanding heart. Praise the Lord. So let's pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask us, every one of us, to do this prayer together. Let's take this first prayer point together. After I pray quickly over the room, we'll go into some series of prayers. Father, I thank you, Lord, as I pray over the room now, we thank you. This short reminder of the need for us to receive the granting of grace in our lives to do your will. But we can't do it on our own because our mind doesn't want to do it. We pray for the granting of grace to do your will, the granting of grace to understand it, the granting of grace to want to do it, and the granting of grace to do it. Father, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, give us this understanding even as we pray these topics today for a closer walk with you, that we will not go ahead, we will not go sideways or whatever. We just follow on to know the Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk after the Spirit of God. As he leads us, we follow. For it is written, if we are led by him, then we will not be prone to the works of the flesh. And again, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And again, if we are, you know, led by him, then we know that we are indeed his children. Because if we are not led, then we are not his children. So, Lord, we thank you for these things. We pray that the Lord will grant us this grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.